Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on khawf, having the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find that this is a very, very important ingredient to help us stay on course, to help us attain our maqsad of life, the object of life that Allah ta'ala has sent us here. One very, very important ingredient to get us to achieve that is having this correct amount of fear. Fear, as we mentioned, that shouldn't have so much of fear. Therefore, the dua that we taught to make, Allahumma qsim lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi bainana wa bain ma'siyatika. O Allah, then grant us such portion, such an amount of fear that is, will be able to prevent us from any type of sin, from any type of disobedience to you, O Allah. You apportion that amount of fear to us. In other words, not so much of fear that a person loses his ability of thinking, loses his ability of reasoning, but that amount of fear that will help a person keep away from all types of guna. So this fear is something that is very important. Take too much of salt and put it into the mix, you'll spoil the mix. And take too little also and you'll spoil it. So therefore the right proportion is very important. When it comes to khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear of Allah ta'ala, also the right proportion is very, very important. So therefore the beautiful ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach us, to tell us and to educate us about what are the harms of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are the harms, is not there to frighten us. Wa na'udhu billah. Sometimes you hear people saying that the laws of Allah ta'ala that I found in the hadith and the Quran are just there to frighten people. It's not there in reality. It's a very, very grave sin to make a statement like that. These, every word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a reality, 100% true. These are not just laws to frighten people, but they are actual realities. And why is they in place? So that we can come onto cause and we can correct ourselves and be careful of the way we behave. So today's hadith, and Abi Barza radiallahu anhu, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن عمره فيما أفناه وعن علمه فيما فعل فيه وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه وعن جسمه فيما أبلاه رواه الترمذي. حضرت أبو برزة رضي الله عنه narrated رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the feet of a person will not move on the day of Qiyamah until he is asked about his life and how he spent it. What is meant by the feet will not move on the day of Qiyamah is a person will not move. When a person is waiting for his accountability on the day of Qiyamah, his feet will not move towards Jannat or it will not move towards Jahannam. He'll be stationed there, fixed, until these four questions are asked to him. So this shows that how important, that this shows how important these four questions are. They are not four ordinary questions, but four very important questions. And as we will see, these four questions cover a person's entire life. From the time he is of age till the moment he passes away, these four questions covers everything. And some of these things we take very lightly. So anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that the feet of a person will not move on the day of Qiyamah until he is asked about his life and how he spent it, about his knowledge and how he utilized it. Ilm is a good thing, ilm is an important thing, necessary for a person to have the correct knowledge. But sometimes when a person has the knowledge and he still does the wrong, it makes the crime even more worse. That after knowing what was right, you still then went and did wrong, so now it makes it more problematic. So a person will be asked on the day of Qiyamah that Allah Ta'ala had given you this ilm, you had the knowledge of deen, what did you do with that knowledge? Did you practice upon it? Or you just had it there to keep in the back of your mind that I got some degree to my name, I got some qualification, or you made amal on that ilm that you had. This is something that is very, very important. About his knowledge and how he utilized it, about his wealth and from where he acquired it. His wealth, where did he acquire his wealth from, and where did he spend it, and about his body and how he wore it out. So the next thing after knowledge, Allah Ta'ala will ask about a person's wealth. Wealth, two aspects will be asked, both income and expense. Where did you acquire it from? Did you get your wealth from halal sources? Or did you get it from the banks? Did you get it from loaning money out like a loan shark? Or did you get your money from stealing it? Did you get it from the lottery? Did you get it from gambling? Where did you get your money from? So one aspect will be asked. The other aspect about money that will be asked on the day of Qiyamah is the wealth I gave you, where did you spend it? In which avenues did you spend it? Did you just spend it on holidaying, on entertainment, Did you just spend it on all haram pursuits and enjoyments? Or you spent it in the right avenues? You saw there was a poor person, you helped him, you spent on your family, you spent on yourself what was necessary, you spent on the welfare of people. Where did you spend this money that I gave you? So sometimes people think, it's my money, I can spend how I want to. Anywhere and how I want, I spend on it. And nowadays also, there's one type of a bimari or sickness almost that has come in. Hazrat Mullah Masihullah Rahmatullahi, in those days, he would make the statements. He would say that, pata nahi ye Africa or London walo, kya hota hai, ke tora paisa jama karta hai, aur umrah ke liye ja raha hai. These South Africans and the people from Europe, they don't understand that they collect a little bit of money, and the moment they collect a little bit of money, immediately they want to run for Umrah. How nice it would be if they take that same money, spend it on some family member that is in need. That is the right thing to do at that time. Sahaba never did that, collected some money, the moment they got money immediately. Not to say that a person mustn't go for Umrah, he should go. But it should not be such that every time a person gets some money and immediately he goes. The more good thing to do, the better thing to do, is identify genuine cases of need. Try and spend, especially in the family. Every family has cases where people are in need. Identify it and spend it. So this is the second part that will be asked. One is, where is the money coming from? And how did you spend it? Did you spend it correctly? And the last thing that will be asked to a person on the day of Qiyamah is this body that Allah Ta'ala has given him. How did he use this body? How did he utilize this body that Allah Ta'ala has given him? It is an asset. The hands are an asset, the eyes are an asset, the brain is an asset, the feet are an asset, the limbs, every limb of the body is an asset. Allah Ta'ala gave you this beautiful asset. How did you use it? Did you use it correctly, or did you use it to commit guna? Did you use it to go towards guna? Did you use it to see guna? You used it to listen to guna? Or did you use it to, for the pleasure of Allah? You listened to Quran, you made tilawat of Quran, you made salah with this body, you fasted with this body, you helped people with this body. How did you use this body? So what four important questions Allah Ta'ala will ask us on the day of Qiyamah, with regards to our wealth, with regards to our body, with regards to our ilm, knowledge, and with regards with this life that Allah Ta'ala has given us, what we did with it. So therefore we should be very particular about it. So when those questions do come, at least little bit, not to say we can do anything, but little bit, at least we can answer Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. At the end of the day, it's only the fazl of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that will allow us to enter into Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.